Welcome to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, coming to you from the Cargo District Recording Studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, where we discuss the most fascinating topics of life. I'm Tyler Yaw with my co-host, Chris Kelly, and each week we interview a special guest to learn how they acquired their wisdom over a glass of whiskey. So sit back, pour yourself a glass, and enjoy Whiskey and Wisdom.
Welcome back to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, everybody. This is your co-host, Tyler Yaw, and today I am with
Chris Kellum.
And our special guest today is
Caitlin Seguin.
Thank you for coming on, Caitlin. We appreciate you coming in early this morning.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. So not many times, I'm sure, have you drank whiskey at 10 a.m. in the morning?
No, but I am prepared.
Team player, right
there. I love that. It's like, I am prepared.
It took a lot of mental prep to get ready to go. But before we get started into this, Chris, what are we sipping on today?
So we have a bottle of Weller Special Reserve. If you look at the bottle, it says the original weeded bourbon. But surprisingly enough, on the Special Reserve, they actually swap out their wheat for rye grain. And me and Tyler were talking about this, that it pretty much, if you see a green label on a bottle, it's going to have rye in it.
Yeah.
If not a majority. And on this one, your tasting notes are supposed to be caramel on the nose with some honey and butterscotch. And it's supposed to have more like a smooth honeysuckle flare on the back end. But just like with any rye, I'm sure there's some spice.
Yeah. I have no clue what honeysuckle is. I've never had it.
You're not from the South.
Nope.
That makes
sense. I'm also not from the South, so I do not know what honeysuckle is.
Well, cheers. We'll talk about it.
That's pretty smooth.
Not bad.
I was going to say, for a non-whiskey drinker.
Yeah.
I'm like, I would hope it's not bad for what I paid. No, so honeysuckle in the South is actually... it's a plant. It's like a little flower that typically grows like viney. Like every time I see it, it's up somebody's fence or like up a tree and it has like yellow flowers that kind of look like baby lilies. Like they're just super small and just flare out. But as kids, you would take the flower and just pull it off and you could suck the back end of it and you could taste the honey out of it.
Oh, interesting.
That's why we call them honeysuckles.
I think we actually did have those growing up. I'm from San Diego.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask where you were from, so there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like a thing I always remember is like, oh, look, there's some honeysuckles, and we just like yank them off the, like that's probably not the best thing for the world, but.
Well, got to have fun somewhere. So going back into your story, so you're from San Diego.
Yep, I grew up in San Diego, and I was there all the way through high school.
Okay.
And then I moved to the Central Coast of California for my undergrad.
Okay.
And I went to school there for nutrition.
Yeah.
And then I've kind of moved around quite a bit. So after undergrad, I moved to Texas for grad school. And then I was there for about a year and a half. And when I graduated, I moved to Illinois and lived there for a little while. And then I moved back to the Central Coast of California. Was quickly reminded that I wanted to leave California in the first place. Why did I go back? So I felt like I finally had the time in my life where I got to choose where I was moving. Mm-hmm. Like other things had always moved me different places. And my brother and I are really close, but he was raised in Utah with our dad and I was raised in San Diego with our mom. Mm. And so I wanted to live closer to him. And so I moved to Salt Lake City, Utah.
Okay.
And I thought that that was going to be my final place. I was very happy there. And then I met my wonderful husband and we had our daughter and we both realized that we didn't really want to raise kids there.
Okay.
And
interesting.
And he loves Wilmington. He's from Utah, but he absolutely loves Wilmington. And I was like, hey, you got to know, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving Utah. So are you willing to accept that? And he was willing, but he brought me out to Wilmington just to meet his friends and
how
go to
starts.
The beach. And I was like, oh my goodness, this place is amazing. Mm-hmm. And just fell in love. And we were here for a week and we got home and we were driving home from the airport. And I said, okay, I'll move.
Yeah.
So it took some time for us to get our lives together. But about the time our daughter was a year old, we were able to move out here, and now I am never moving.
Awesome. It's set now.
Yes.
So how'd your husband hear about Wilmington before?
He honestly just was, it was very random.
Okay.
He just wanted to get out of Utah and chose Wilmington. And when he got out here, he loved it. And that was probably like 12 years ago.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so then he lived here for, I think, about 8 years.
Oh, all right.
Before moving back. He had to move back to Utah, and that's kind of how we connected.
Right.
But yeah, it was very random.
Nice.
Everyone, there's a lot of people I know that, like, the people who, like, ski, snowboard, all end up either on one of the coasts for, like, their travels. And it's weird that so many people I know from Wilmington are like, well, we're going to Utah for skiing, or something of the sort. And then those people, they talk to somebody, and then those people from like Utah end up here. And I'm like, it's so small. But Wilmington also really doesn't have the waves to like sustain the people. Like, oh, I'm here for, like, I love the city, but I want to go surfing. And I'm like, I feel like there has to be more for you to do, because there's not that many waves out here.
Yeah.
I'm not a surfer, so I don't know. I like to watch people surf. I love to go to the beach. I didn't actually like the beach growing up because San Diego beaches are freezing.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
And it's like, even just the beach in general is kind of cold and windy.
Mm-hmm.
That's all my memories of it. It was like laying down in the sand so that you could feel the warmth of the sun. But if you sat up, then you were cold and you never went in the water.
Okay.
So then you were just sandy and cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like fun.
No. And then you get here and you're like, oh my gosh, you can like actually play and go in the water. Right. And
do all the things.
Yeah, like the real beach experience.
Yeah. That's funny.
So like I grew up, this might date me, watching Baywatch. And my head was like, I thought this show was based. No. I thought the show was based in California. Does anyone
know? Oh, I did too.
So to me, I'm like, as a normal person, as an adult, I'm like, those waters are frigid.
Yeah.
Why are people swimming this often? Because I talk to people who live there and like, yeah, we don't go in the water. So I'm like, how are all these people drowning? Like, I wouldn't be in the water in the first place. Sorry. That was just the random, because my head was like, isn't it cold? Why are so many people? The only reason I thought it was Cali because of the lifeguard stands, like whatever they're things.
So you're just gonna leave us in anticipation and not tell us where it's based out?
Oh, I don't know. That's what I'm like trying to figure out.
Okay. So like, note to self, don't let Chris have a computer while we're recording anymore. Anyway. So have you always had your own dietitian practice?
No. So I actually started it when we moved out here.
Oh, okay.
So I've worked in kind of a variety of different fields in the dietitian world. And when we were moving out here, I obviously was needing to switch jobs. Mm-hmm. And I was just trying to figure out what would work for me as a mom.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we were living in Utah, we had our first daughter. And I left my job before we even moved out here because it was just way too demanding. I was working over 50 hours a week.
Oh, wow.
Having to work late into the evening, getting called in on the weekends. Like, there was no consistency. Mm-hmm. I worked in a children's hospital.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And my husband was like, man, you don't like your job anymore. Mm-hmm. When you started there, you absolutely loved it. You were so happy. And now you're not happy and you're missing out on our daughter growing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I left about 6 months before we ended up moving out here. And I just spent that time trying to think through what I wanted to do. And as I looked at jobs, I was like, man, there is nothing that's going to fit what I need out of a job. I was in management before, and I liked that, just having a lot of responsibility and a little bit more control. And I had a relatively flexible schedule when we were staffed well.
Yes.
Right. Understood.
But then when we weren't, it was an absolute shit show.
Yeah. Right.
And so then I was like, well, I could start my own practice and that would give me all of the things that I need. I would be in full control of everything. And so I, yeah, spent the next 6 months kind of formulating exactly what I wanted my practice to be and doing all of the training and learning to figure out how to actually make that happen.
Yeah. So were you doing the nutrition side at the Children's Hospital then too?
Yeah. So I managed their food service department.
Okay.
And so I was responsible for putting together like the menus and lots of recipe development to have all of the different diets for the different kids in the hospital based off of their different needs.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And so I worked a lot with all of the dietitians that were working like one-on-one with the patients in the hospital.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Because I had to make sure that the diets and things that we were doing while they were in the hospital matched what those dietitians were teaching them to do at home.
Okay.
So yeah, super fascinating job. I really loved it.
Yeah. It's really neat actually.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where like you see it in practice, but you don't realize there's actually has to be someone on the back end who has to put it all together.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, my brain just figures these things. I was like, oh yeah, there is someone who has to actually make a meal plan for people and like make sure they're healthy and growing well.
I just think that's kind of crazy. 'Cause I'm sure that's really important for kids, especially, right?
Yeah. And we were like, I mean, because it was like a pediatric specific hospital, mm-hmm. like we got very extreme cases.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there was a lot that went into it. And then we had lots of kids that were also tube fed or we had infants that were on formulas and specialized right. formulas. And so a lot of work went into that side as well, making sure that we're meeting those needs separate from like actual food and oral yeah. intake.
So Chris, I promise I have a lot of silly questions. when someone's tube fed, mm-hmm. you don't actually just crush up the food and feed it. Like it's a mixture of things. Like I've heard of tube fed because everyone has. I just don't know what that actually means. Like where does that food source or the nutrition come from?
Yeah. So typically it is from basically like a formula, just like you would give to an infant that's mm-hmm. not on breast milk. So they have different formulations based off of the different needs. And then there's ones that are pediatric specific and then ones for adults.
Okay.
So that's the standard, but there were a surprising number of families that wanted to do what we call as like a blenderized formula. So they would make their own formula from actual foods.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then blend it up. And then we would have to take it into the hospital and then we would put it in the tube to okay. feed them.
Oh, wow. So they would like literally just make a smoothie out of it.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Wow.
But there was a lot of support from the dietitians sure that because it has to be complete nutrition. Yes. That's literally all they're getting.
Okay.
Right.
Sorry.
That's crazy. Yeah. But what you're doing now isn't just pediatric though, right?
No. So my practice is called Family Nutrition Solutions. So we do focus on families all together.
Okay.
But we see a handful of kids, but our primary focus is women who are trying to get pregnant through pregnancy, mm-hmm. postpartum and breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. And then what we hear a lot is, I just don't feel right. I don't feel like myself. I can tell that something is wrong.
Right.
And oftentimes they've gone to their doctor with these same concerns. Mm-hmm. And their doctor has said something like, well, we ran your labs and everything has come back normal.
Right.
Yeah.
Or what really kills me is you just need to lose some weight.
Yeah.
Or it's all in your head.
Yeah.
Yep.
So then we're like, okay, we will listen to you and find the root cause of what's going on and help you start to feel better.
Mm-hmm. It's been crazy. We brought on so many different people over the past couple of years that either have that same exact type of story that had to go and seek other help other than their like primary care doctor. Mm-hmm. Then we've had other doctors on who are in that functional field that they don't really have to do any advertising, right? Because like when your primary care provider isn't able to provide the value, you go out searching for someone who's willing to listen to you. And it's crazy now that you would think your primary care provider would be the one to sit there and listen to you like it was back in the old days. But now you have to go out to these places that aren't accepting insurance as much, which is another reason why I bring that up, because I wanted to come back around to that. You do accept insurance though, don't you?
Yes, we do accept insurance. Ooh. Yeah. So, and lots of people don't know how much coverage they can actually have with nutrition counseling. Like I was talking to somebody the other day and she was like, oh, I have crap insurance. And I was like, okay, well, what do you have? Like, let's talk through that. And she showed me her insurance card and I was like, oh, I see that plan all the time. Your visits are going to be covered 100%. You won't have to pay anything, like no copay. And you get 30 visits per year, which I start typically by seeing people every other week, but I only have a small handful of patients that I see every other week for an entire year.
Right.
Yeah.
And that would be 26 visits. So we have more than enough of what we need. So we do accept insurance because, like you said, it can be so expensive for people to go and pay out of pocket for these services. And when I'm wanting to see people frequently, like every other week, that's really going to add up and get really expensive. Yes. And I just want it to be affordable. I don't want to just be able to provide care for people who can spend a lot of money.
Yes.
I want to help people that can afford that and make eating healthy more realistic and like achievable for people.
And from following you on social media and everything too, so you make eating healthier kind of more approachable than what I've seen other people. So can you explain how you do that a little bit more?
Yeah. So I just start where people are at and then take the approach from there. So if somebody is eating fast food every day, even though the ideal may be for them to cook at home, that's just so unrealistic. So we'll start by eating one meal at home and then determining, okay, what are better options at fast food restaurants? And then maybe that person doesn't really want to work on their food as much. Maybe they want to really work on physical activity. Then, like, if that's where your motivation is, then let's tap into that. It just doesn't make sense for me to, like, I'm not going to push my own agenda on somebody. I'm wanting to help you reach your own goals. And so helping you kind of find out what those goals are and then how to take a very stepwise approach with it.
Yeah, I love that. That's kind of the same but different in the financial services industry, which is where I'm at, where everyone's always like, oh, well, I want to make it as much money in the stock market as possible, right? It's just like the same concept as like, I'm going to make every single meal possible in my house and it's going to be the most healthy. I'm going to get all of it from Whole Foods. And you're like, okay, that's wonderful. And I hope the best for you. And I hope you can achieve that. It was like, but what's the actual goal that you're trying to accomplish here? Because maybe that goal doesn't even fit with what the ideal of the world is. And so I really appreciate like kind of seeing that approach and what you're kind of putting out there in front of other people as well. I think it makes it easier to approach someone like yourself and say, like, hey, you know what? This is where we need to start at.
Yeah. And I'm actually glad that you brought up like the financial piece of it, like buying everything at Whole Foods. It has been a consistent topic over the last couple of months where people are saying that because of the economy, they're not able to eat as healthy as they'd like to. And so then we're having to make modifications from there of, okay, we would prefer to be able to buy, you know, organic produce, but if we can't do that, then what can we do? Is there some organic produce that we can buy? Can we not afford any? And then are we going to frozen fruits and vegetables because that's what fits in your budget? Like, Of course, I'm never going to turn somebody away because, you know, you can't buy all of the perfect foods from Whole Foods.
And it's crazy, too. Who was I? I think I was watching something where it was like the mindset of like, oh, well, I can't buy all of this organic food, so I'm going to go and buy like a half dozen donuts. And it's like, okay, that was a really weird jump that you made there. But like a lot of people make that jump. And it's like, well, if I can't do it this way, I'm not going to do it at all. And I just, I don't think that's right.
Yeah, absolutely. I hear people all the time. They're like, I don't have time to cook or, you know, go grocery shopping and do the things. But then they'll like run through a 7-Eleven and grab a candy bar.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, because it's cheaper to get a candy bar than to get a banana. I'm just kidding.
I was like, not a banana, but I know where you're
not
going.
Not a banana.
So banana's like 85 cents.
I also don't go to a 7-Eleven because we don't have one in town yet.
There is in Leland.
You haven't brought me a slushie yet?
I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding.
Slushie was one of my number one cravings with my first pregnancy. And in Utah, there are lots of 7-Elevens, so I knew where all of them were on my drive home. And it was bad how many of those that I drank because,
okay,
surprising, they're not good for you.
Yeah. Really? So wait,
number
question.
One thing we're taking away from the podcast, slushies are not good for you.
So wait, can you tell a difference between a slushie and an icy?
Oh, I don't think I can tell a difference. Oh,
that's so depressing.
I mean, like, I don't remember drinking them before. Okay. It was just like
you just
my first trimester, so a solid like 13 weeks of slushies every day.
I grew up here in Wilmington, so like we would go to Walmart, and that was the treat they would give kids. It's like you could go and buy an icy, and icy was like more foamy, I guess.
Yeah,
like it was more cloud-like, whereas a slushie to me is more ice. Like I feel like it's ice with flavor, whereas like an icy is just puffy. I don't know. I just didn't know if you knew the difference.
No.
Nope.
Not well versed in slushy icy.
True. But before I go back to normal content, Baywatch technically is supposed to be filmed in California, and then they moved to Hawaii at some point. But still, where are these beaches that people are just like chilling in the water when it's that cold?
I don't know. Curious. I don't know. Yeah.
So I love the fact. Sorry. See, this
we're
is just
get back onto the Baywatch.
Yes. Way. I had to point out that I am not always off track. I do find answers at points. Like I was saying, I love the fact that we've talked to people who sit there and it is really hard to accept insurance because insurance makes life difficult for providers, yes, which annoys the mess out of me. But I like that you've grown your business to a point where you can actually accept it and help those people who, like myself, don't have the best insurance. Well, knock on wood. My insurance is insurance. But for helping
most
those people
feel about it.
Helping those people out who, like you said, they say they don't have good insurance and they're, because I don't have good insurance, I can't be healthy, and then they don't go to a doctor, which then leads them to eating worse and worse foods. It just makes me happy that there's people who are like trying to help the smaller community get better and get healthier.
Yeah, and when I am frustrated sitting on hold with insurance companies for 2+ hours trying to, you know, verify somebody's benefits, I just remind myself that this is allowing me to give the services to more people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the people who are insurance based tend to be more successful because they see us more often because they're not having to pay out of pocket. And I find that the people that are paying cash, they're only coming in to get like the nutrition education.
Yeah.
To learn like, okay, what do I need to do? But I'm not able to follow up with them as frequently for like that accountability and checking in and making smaller tweaks. And so they end up not being as successful. Mm-hmm. So there's like a twofold of it actually does work better when I'm able to use insurance, where my friends who have other practices, like it's really common in the physical therapy world, where insurance is limiting their ability to give us much success for people.
Which is so annoying that insurance is a topic in and of itself.
Definitely.
It hurts my soul some days.
Is there something that you see more often than not in your practice right now that you would say like, hey, like this is almost like an epidemic type of thing? And if there is, what are a few things that if our listeners fall into that, what's a good place to start?
Yeah. So Probably the number one thing that we talk about with everybody is insulin resistance. And so that's like the precursor to diabetes, essentially. But because we're also working with people during pregnancy, if you have insulin resistance going into your pregnancy, then you're at higher risk for gestational diabetes and preeclampsia. So people will come and work with us to help prevent those things during their pregnancy, which is like the dream for me. Because when I started, I was getting people who were in their pregnancy or postpartum of like, I dealt with all of these things and now I'm not feeling good. But now that we're getting the word out there and we've been around a little bit longer, people are able to start seeing us sooner.
Right.
So the biggest thing that has been irking me lately is that when you go to your traditional doctor, they will pretty much always run a fasting glucose. So to determine how much sugar is in your blood. And then typically they'll run an A1C. So that's looking at what is your blood sugar over the last 3 months. And that is kind of the deciding factor for a diagnosis of like prediabetes or diabetes. But there's a test called insulin that will determine what your insulin levels are in your blood. And that is a really good predictor of like, do you have this insulin resistance? So basically your insulin isn't working as well to bring your blood sugar levels down. And we can catch things like diabetes or gestational diabetes significantly faster. But that's not a test that is routinely run. And usually when I have patients ask their doctors to like add it onto their lab work, there's not typically any pushback. But every once in a while, I'm surprised when the doctor is like, nope, we're not going to run that one. And it's not a very expensive test.
I'd say it's probably only like a few bucks, like when it comes like on their side.
And even for the patient, like even when it, for some reason, when it goes through insurance, it tends to be more expensive than if they ordered labs through me and just paid out of pocket for it. But insulin resistance is going to increase your risk of all sorts of conditions. And then, I mean, people still, most people also are wanting to lose some weight as they're coming and working with us. So if you have that insulin resistance, it's just going to make it significantly harder for you to lose weight. So when your doctor says, just lose weight,
you're like, but how?
And then you have things like insulin resistance that's making it more difficult. And so then they're not able to lose weight and they're feeling frustrated. And then their doctor wants to put them on medication. So some things that you can do to help kind of reverse this insulin resistance or make your insulin more sensitive is making sure that you're eating enough protein with every single meal or snack. And the snacks is where, snacks and breakfast is where people to get a little wonky. Because a typical meal, you're going to have, you know, like your meat and your starch and your veggie, and that's normal for lunch and dinner. But like just eating a bowl of oatmeal with some fruit is...
There's no protein really there.
So there's a little bit of protein in oatmeal, but not nearly enough to offset all of the carbs. So it's not that carbs are bad. It's just that we need other things to balance them out. And same thing with snacks. Like people are like, oh, super healthy. I'm just going to grab an apple. And it's like, great. And an apple is a really good choice, but we need some protein to go along with that to balance out the carbs.
So that's why we do peanut butter and apples.
And so that's helpful. But even peanut butter, we want, ideally, we would want something a little bit more. If somebody is like truly insulin resistant, really pushing on the like pre-diabetes, diabetes side of things, I would want something a little more like string cheese. Really, lots of the dairies are great.
I've always seen like snack options and I never understood what, why is this an option? Like growing, like I said, people are like, oh, you know, do apples and peanut butter or like celery with peanut butter on it or celery with cream cheese. And it's always just something that I grew up as like a snack, but I didn't realize that there was technically a reason behind it. And now I do.
The other thing that's super helpful is any sort of movement after you're eating. So when we eat, then our blood sugar levels are going to increase. That's just the natural response. Yeah. But what gets blood sugar levels back down quickly is moving your body.
Oh, that's interesting. I did not realize that.
Yeah. So
I shouldn't nap.
No, just walk around a little bit. Like, I'll tell people, like, if it's unrealistic for you to eat your dinner and then go for a family walk, can you, like, do your dishes and bring a load of laundry up the stairs? Like, anything to get your body moving. It doesn't have to be this, like, structured activity.
Okay.
But not eating and then, like, vegging out in front of the couch for the next 3 hours.
Yet again.
Makes sense.
Something like people do, and I was like, oh yeah, you know, they eat dinner and they go for a family walk. I was like, I didn't realize that's a good way to help, like, keep your insulin down or getting it to work.
Yep.
So many things I learned today.
That's why we do what we do.
Yep.
I'm just like light bulb, just flip that switch over and over again.
Yeah, it's, and
so fun.
That's where my goal is, to make things simple and realistic, because I've got two kids. I don't have the time to be doing a ton of structured exercise. I would love to, but business, mom, life.
Yep. Yes.
So how can we incorporate activity and even some of these healthy eating things into all of the chaos?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you for our sponsor, the Leland Brewing Company, right over the bridge in Leland Township. Definitely check them out. It's a nice local spot with local beers that they're making on site, as well as some that aren't from the area. It is an amazing family-friendly location, and it's really nice. They got some greenery out back, as well as some nice food trucks that pop up every now and then. So give them a check out. Tell them that Whiskey and Wisdom sent you.
And when you're meeting with people, like, one-on-one, do you notice that, depending on, like, their background or whatever, that they need different type of, what's what I'm looking for? Like, nutrition, I guess. Like, do some people work better with a higher protein diet than other people do? Or is it, like, pretty standard that, like, you should get this much of protein or whatever the case may be?
Yeah, I would say that I do it more based off of what the person's goals are. Mm-hmm. And then I do factor in their personal preferences. So there is typically a pretty solid, like, narrow range of protein that I'm going for. And then between, like, fat and carbohydrates, we can kind of balance out. Of course, I'm going to give my recommendation based off of, like, here's medically what you need.
Right.
But if you know, if we have a little bit of wiggle room, you know, if we're thinking, like, macro wise, if we have a 10% wiggle room, would you prefer to eat more fruit, say, or more nuts that are higher in fat?
Right.
And kind of let them make that decision based off of their preferences.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Sorry. I'm just listening and just absorbing all of this information. It's just, sorry. It's what I do some days.
Yeah.
So string cheese wise.
Yes.
You're talking about, like, snacks and, like, healthier things for people throughout the day. Do you suggest more of the 3 meal a day, or do you suggest more 7 smaller things? Snacks, I don't.
Yeah, so I definitely don't recommend the, like, 3 meals and 3 snacks. That's too much.
Oh.
I recommend usually eating about every 3 to 4 hours. And I would say for most people that ends up being 3 meals and 1 snack.
Okay.
So we want enough time in between meals, and that's more for gut health. We need to give our digestion a little bit of a break without just, like, constantly shoving food down our gullets.
Nice.
So we want a little bit of a break. But then for blood sugar, if we're going way too long without eating, then that can cause a little bit of a stress response for our body. Our blood sugar can start to dip too low. And so then that releases cortisol in our body, which then it's our body's natural response to increase our blood sugar levels. Mm-hmm. And so we want to prevent that. Like, we don't want to stress out our body simply from not eating enough.
So that's why I'm hangry.
Yes. That is like the exact definition of hangry.
See?
That's my, not the hangry part necessarily, but just like I get involved in whatever I'm doing and I just don't think about eating until like it's too late. And then I start having like my blood sugar issues and that's where my like, downfall is. Cause I know I should be eating more protein, especially working out and staying as active that I tried to. And so that's always like my downfall. So with that being said, do you have any tips or tricks that I should probably start doing to remind myself to eat more protein more often?
That is also my downfall. Yeah. I get way too busy and yeah, just completely forget about eating, mm-hmm. which is not good. That's why I practice what I preach and not what I actually do. But I find that people who kind of struggle with this do really well with protein shakes or smoothies mm-hmm. because you can typically drink it as you're doing other things.
Right.
And it's an easy way to just add in a bunch of good stuff. Mm-hmm. So I usually suggest adding in like chia seeds and of course your protein powder. Right. And so it's an easy way to get in nutrients. Mm-hmm. For some people, they literally put like a timer on their phone to remind them of like, hey, I need to take a break because you probably, if you're sitting and working, you probably also need to get up and move around a mm-hmm. little bit. So that often works for people.
That's what I was trying to start since, I guess, beginning of November is when I like started really bad, like not eating anything. And so I had a calendar set on my computer. Mm-hmm. Be like, hey, get up and walk around, like go do something. And so what my walk ends up being is walking to Harris Teeter and like getting something over there and then coming back and then like eating it at the desk. So at least I'm getting like a walk in and getting like, probably not some of the best protein shakes that you can get out of Harris Teeter, but like something like that or like beef jerky or something.
Yeah.
So trying my best.
With one stone.
Right. Because I also find myself getting really upset when I just sit at my computer all day and not doing anything and the physical activity going down.
And I will make a statement because I know some people are silly. Everything we're saying are just suggestions because everybody's different. Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes. Which is why we primarily just do one-on-one counseling because everybody's different and where they're at is different and what's going to work for one person isn't going to work for the next person. So yeah, that's why I don't have any sort of like set program either. It's like you come in for the first appointment and then we're going to determine how often you need to be seen and all of that almost one visit at a time.
Okay.
I can tell people typically for the first 3 months, we're going to work together every other week. And most often at that point, we can go out to once a month. But sometimes people come in for the first appointment and I'm like, oh, you don't really need as much of that accountability. Like you're really good at, I tell you what to do and you're just going to do it. Mm-hmm. And so then we can meet less frequently.
Nice. Kind of semi-random question. Have you, because I know you've seen people of all shapes and sizes. Is it really a thing for someone to naturally be just like a heavier set?
There's a ton of genetics involved.
Okay.
So yes, it is normal, it's common for somebody to be heavier set and for it to be unrealistic for them to become very thin.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I always see this thing where everyone's like, you know, doctors are like, you got to lose weight, you got to work out. And I know people, I'm like, I see them in the gym. Mm-hmm. I know they're eating healthy, but they're just naturally like, I just wanted to put out there like, some people are just naturally going to be heavier. Like even like you look at their blood work and it says they're healthy and like you see them out eating and you're like, oh, like they're eating better than I am. But
right. Yeah. I totally lost my train of thought.
Welcome to my life.
Right.
I think it's a good pause for a sip of whiskey.
Yeah, exactly.
So what do you think about this whiskey? Like thoughts?
I'm actually very surprised because for somebody who doesn't drink whiskey, like I'm having a good time. Like it's good.
Yeah.
It doesn't totally like fry my mouth.
Right.
Yes.
That's the nice thing about Weller. It's not going to be, even though I think that one's a decently higher proof, or it just feels like that because it's the rye, but it doesn't like burn the whole way down.
Yeah.
It's a 90.
Okay, yeah.
It'd be good in an old-fashioned.
It would be.
Mm. I like old-fashioneds.
You know who makes a really good old-fashioned? Who? Me.
I had a feeling we were going down that road.
Oh, did you think I was going to be like a bar across the street?
No, I had a feeling it was going to be you.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I want to say about people who tend to be a little heavier set, mm-hmm. I often see them, they've dieted for so long, and by the time they come to me, they're eating like virtually no calories. Mm. And so then I'm always looking at the history of like, what has your weight been mm-hmm. your entire life? If you recently gained a bunch of weight, then it makes sense that we could help you lose weight.
Yeah.
You know,
and you're right.
Yeah. But if you've always been heavier set, then it's unrealistic to get you down into like a normal BMI, and
yeah,
BMI is mm-hmm. nonsense anyways. So we should never go based off of that.
Well, it's always funny with BMI. So I wrestled when I was really young. And so I was working out before, like I probably should have been working out and everything. So I had a, what's it called? Where they like pinch your skin, like to find out how much.
Oh, the like skin fold test.
Yeah. So they did that and they were like, oh, okay, you're, I think it was 4% body fat. So like super low.
Yeah.
And like unhealthy low.
Yep.
And so I go do all that. And then I go to, cause I had to do it for wrestling to determine if I was allowed to lose weight or not. Mm-hmm. I wasn't, obviously. And so then I go to the doctor to get my physical for it. And doctor comes in and was like, oh, your BMI is too high.
Oh, my goodness.
And my mom was sitting there because I was only like 15 at the time. And she was like, you want him to lose weight?
Yeah.
It was like, where?
Yeah.
It was like, he literally just saw a doctor like 2 weeks before you saying that you didn't have enough fat on him. And he was like, oh, yeah, sometimes that BMI is a little bit off.
A little.
Like a little bit?
Yeah.
Well, when I was in the military, like they would, this has been controversial for years, but they would do a tape if you didn't mm-hmm. hit like your height and weight standards. And because the military is based on men, not women, every single female I know, minus like two, had to get taped.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm like, this doesn't make any sense because obviously women, their setup's going to be different than men. I always had to get taped, even like the day, like I left basic training. I went like not even a week later. I went back to my unit and they're like, okay, cool. Let's, well, look, Chris, at 6'2", you're supposed to weigh 207 pounds for your age. And I'm like, that's the max I can weigh. And I was like 21 at the time. And I was like, okay, that seems understandable. And then I would look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, I look emaciated. Mm-hmm. And now I'm like, oh man, I wish I could get back that small. But I understand, like, as you get older, like if I got to 207, I would look
mm-hmm.
sick.
Yeah.
I think I'd be fine if I could get back to like 230.
Goals.
Yeah.
I think the dangerous part of like where America is at right now is having those two separate sides, right? Yeah. Is the one side being like, oh, you're too big. You need to lose all of this weight, whether it's healthy or not for you. Mm-hmm. And then you have the other side that, which I appreciate, but then there's also the dangerous side of it, like the body appreciation and mm-hmm. everything. It's like, yeah, I get that. But not to the detriment of your health. It'd be like,
right.
yeah.
oh, I'm allowed to be big, so I'm going to continue eating my 5 Big Macs a day.
Right.
It was like, yeah, you should be happy in your skin, but you also should be doing something to have better nutritional value to your life. So I think it's like dangerous on both ends of that spectrum. And I'm sure you see that a lot in the work that you do.
Yeah. I try to be right in the middle of like, okay. let's help you have a healthy relationship with food, but also really focus on optimizing your health.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not going to be super concerned if somebody, like you said, if their blood work comes back and like everything is looking good and they feel really good, I don't care what the number on the scale Right. Sits. If they're wanting to lose a little bit of weight, I will help support that, but I'm going to make sure that we're not worsening their health just to drop 10 pounds, because I've seen way too many times with, like, the Optavia diet is my least favorite right now because
yeah,
it is so restrictive. And then I get people coming to me that have been on that diet for sometimes a short period of time, like 1 to 6 months. Mm-hmm. 6 months is a long time to be on a diet like that.
Yeah.
And their hormones are shot. Like,
oh, wow.
Like, they don't. They're not producing as many sex hormones as they should be. And of course they feel like crap.
Right.
And it's like, well, you starved yourself. And it, that's, you crazy, know, with the goal to lose a little bit of weight. And yeah, we definitely need to get away from that.
Something that I've noticed too, just from what my family's involved in and me trying to, like, optimize my body as much as possible too, is I've almost stopped even looking at the number on the scale as much and doing more blood work more often, because I think that's kind of, or at least for me, and tell me if I'm wrong, that's kind of more of the telltale sign of, like, if you're moving in the right direction.
For sure. Yeah. And I like having people get in-body scans. Mm-hmm. So assessing, like, body fat percentage. And if we're talking about, like, this body positivity, those dietitians and people in that space tend to not like the in-body scans, but I find it really helpful, because when people go on these extreme diets and are really cutting calories, they're typically losing muscle mass.
Right.
And they're sometimes they're losing muscle mass and they're putting on fat mass, but the number on the scale is changing. And so they feel good. But then when we really look at the numbers, everybody is like, oh, no, I don't want to be losing muscle mass. I'm like, of course not. And so it can help just help us know that things are moving in the right direction, even in, like, a body composition sense. But I, of course, would love if more people did blood work more frequently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they actually, I think there's a free one at NutriPrime Nutrition that's off of Eastwood Road. So if you go into the supplement store over there, you can get on there and do a free.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know there's lots of gyms, and there's even, like, a couple businesses in town where, like, their employees can come and get an in-body scan.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that was one thing that I've realized over the past 2 years, or I guess 3 years now, like, doing 75 hard and focusing more on it. So when I first started my nutrition and kind of physical health journey, I was weighing around, like, 140, and I was like, oh, I can't gain any more weight for whatever reason. And I was like, you know what? Like, I don't like the way that I look. I don't look healthy. I was like, what do I need to do? I'm like, I'm gonna start putting on more muscle. And so I stopped looking at the scale, and I was just, like, just focusing on muscle.
Yeah.
And about last year, I stepped on the scale. I was like, shit, I weigh 170 now. And, like, I never thought I'd weigh that, but I look much better. I feel much better. I have so much more energy than I did back at 140.
Yes. And I find it helpful when people focus on just one thing. And so if somebody's coming to me and they're like, okay, I have diabetes and I want to lose weight and I also have high cholesterol, it's like, okay, can we pick one of those things and really focus on it? And other pieces may also improve. But when we're trying to do a million things at once, it's just more overwhelming. So, like, let's focus on one and move the needle there. And then we can see where we need to go after that.
It's a super smart way of looking at it.
Yeah.
Even think about that. It makes a lot of sense, though.
Yeah. But, like, you did it with, like, okay, I'm just going to put on muscle mass. Because if you're trying to put on muscle mass and, I don't know, maybe try to lose fat mass at the same time, like, that's just more challenging.
Yes.
Right. Because for the longest time, like, when I was doing MMA and stuff too, I was like, let me put on weight. But because I was still in the, like, I was never going to fight by any means. But, like, in my head, I was like, I want to stay in this weight class. I don't know why I was in that mindset, but I just was. And I was like, if I was to fight, I'm going to fight at 135, but I need more muscle. And so I was trying to lose weight while put on muscle. And I didn't have a lot of body fat to lose to begin with. So it was a, then actually those two goals were actually contradicting each other.
Yeah.
So that was my first journey into it. And I was like, okay, I'm going to focus on this and then just go in this direction and not worry about it. And not knowing that was actually a good thing to do.
Yeah. And I have a lot of women do that, that are wanting to, like, their end goal is weight loss. Mm-hmm. And I say, oftentimes they'll get an in body and we'll see, okay, you don't have a lot of muscle mass. So let's do that first, because it's going to be easier to put on more muscle mass when you're in a calorie surplus.
Right.
So let's not worry about restricting a bunch of things, mm-hmm. and put that muscle mass on. And then once you have more of that muscle mass, then your BMR, like how many calories you're burning, like at rest, is going to be higher.
Right.
And it's going to be easier for you to lose weight at that point.
Yeah. Oh, that's neat. That's one of my favorite things, like, because I'm a nerd and weird like that, is like when I'm on like Instagram or whatever, like seeing the body composition photos next to each other, mm-hmm. where they weighed the same weight in two different pictures, but look completely different. Mm-hmm. It's crazy how anyone can do that, and how your body works in those ways.
Right.
Just by fat versus muscle.
Mm-hmm. I need to get on that side of Instagram. I'm trying to figure out how to shift my Instagram focus.
Well, start by following me.
Yeah.
True.
And then engage with my content.
Okay.
And then you'll get more of my type of content.
So wait, see? Where can we find you on Instagram?
So I am at dietitian_Caitlin.
Okay.
And that's all of my nutrition world. And then I also have another account at Family Nutrition Solutions, and that is all recipes.
Okay.
Okay.
So Caitlin with a K or a C?
With a K.
Okay. The best way.
Yes, yep. Of course.
No, my whole Instagram is watches and shoes. And then my suggested reels are all over the place. Yeah, we won't talk about that. It doesn't make any sense. So in reality, what would success look like for you, like business-wise?
That's a good question. I would love, I have lots of hopes and dreams.
Yeah.
So I would love, I currently have one other dietitian on my team. Mm-hmm. So I would love to have not too many, but maybe three, where we each have a very narrow focus of mm-hmm. like what our specialty is. Because right now, myself and Sarah, we see a lot of different types of patients. Mm-hmm. And that's, it's fun, but it's also like you can't be an expert in everything.
Yes.
So I'd like to expand that a little bit. And then I am working on developing some group programs, because I do miss like the community aspect, and it can be really helpful. So I'm working right now on like a pregnancy group program. Mm. So everybody who's going through the same thing at the same time. And while I can give my suggestions of, hey, this is what worked for me when I was nauseous in the first trimester, other moms may have other tips that have worked for them. So developing some more of those group programs to help people kind of work together on their nutrition.
That's great. Yeah, that probably really helps on the words today. Accountability side.
Yes.
I was like, it's not just me.
Chris and I were up late drinking last night too. So.
I just not typically
this has happened.
Yeah, I just have mom brain and lack of sleep.
Oh, understandable.
Yeah, with the 4-month-old, that definitely happens.
Yep. Yeah, and she is up all night.
So I'm assuming you know Alex.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Richardson?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely. She's fantastic, and so is Fourth Trimester Mission.
That's why I love this podcast, because I tell Tyler all the time.
That's where we first met, was at her nonprofit thing.
Yep.
See?
I remember that now. Yeah.
See, Tyler doesn't even know. And I'm just like, I bet you she's a dietitian. She's a mom. She probably knows Alex.
Yep.
And then the other option would be Upper. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I love Sarah as well.
See?
Yes. But
very small community.
Yeah. The whole fourth trimester mm-hmm. is what made me ultimately start my business, because after I had my daughter, I was like, man, pregnancy is tough, but you get seen so often. Mm-hmm. And then after you have your baby, they're like, see you later.
Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah. Like no follow up. And because a lot of my experience was in pediatric nutrition, I felt very confident in terms of like how to feed my baby through like infancy and starting mm-hmm. solids mm-hmm. and beyond, and then also how to feed myself while breastfeeding. And then there were a million other things about having a baby that like you just live on Google as a new parent yeah. of like, is this normal? Is that normal? And if I had to add in what do I need to eat and how do I make sure I have enough breast milk supply and how do I start solids? Like if I had to add that onto my mental plate, I would have broken. Like I don't know how I would have survived it. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that there's not a lot of resources in terms of like, how do you learn that if you didn't go to school for it and have yeah. that be your jobs? And so that's where I was like, I need to help moms have a better fourth trimester and then help them feel more confident raising their kids and like yeah. into motherhood.
Yeah, it's a great idea. And like, even on like the dad's side of it too, like when we had our first kid, like you said, like my wife was going to all of the appointments and everything, and you mm-hmm. just felt like you had like your hand held like through this whole entire journey. And then yep. like the next couple days after your kid's born, you're in the hospital and everyone's like helping you take care of them and stuff, and then they're like, all right, discharge, have fun. And you're yep. like, now what do I do with it?
Yep.
And then you're home and you just have this like crying baby and you're like, oh no. Uh-huh.
Yep, there is no handbook for parenthood. No.
And just hope that you have a really good support system around you is really what it comes down to, which I think is important with the fourth trimester mission and what you're doing and everything too, is just being able to have those people around you, which I think is interesting and a great idea that you're doing, like the family nutrition. Because mm-hmm. so many times people think it's a journey on your own, and it's really not.
Yeah, and with like the struggle that I'm seeing from oftentimes moms, just because that's who we tend to work with, mm-hmm. is they're like, okay, I have my own personal nutrition goals and my spouse doesn't like vegetables and my kids are picky and they won't eat meat. Mm-hmm. And so then it's like, I'm trying to help the mom reach her goals, but in the context of her family's
yeah.
preferences, right. because no family should be cooking separate meals for every single person mm-hmm. because who has the time for that?
Right.
So my goal is to get that the entire family eating for the most part the same meal, yeah. but then yeah. meeting everybody's needs, which is
hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easier said than done.
Yes.
All right. We are coming up on an hour already, which is pretty quick. But if you were to tell your younger self one thing, what would it be?
Ooh, that is a good question. Be confident in yourself, which I don't know how to like instill that, but that's what I would have told yeah. my younger self because I struggled with just like, who am I for the longest time? And it wasn't until I moved here that I found who I am.
That's awesome. So was it, do you think that was from the change of scenery and just starting something new, or were you already kind of on that journey of like finding out who you are?
I think I was a little bit on that journey thanks to therapy.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that was the biggest push. And then the move and honestly starting my business, it forced me to like, I was like, I have to be successful in this. I haven't given myself an out. So right. in my mind, there is no option for me to fail and go find a traditional job. I will do whatever it takes to make this work. And so it was almost like, rather than making this work for me, it was like, it was separate from me, mm-hmm. but it required me to just go out and be confident in myself and my business and my knowledge.
Right.
And so it's a little bit of like, you just got to fake it till you make it. Mm-hmm. But I'm now at the point where I'm like, oh, I really am confident in myself and I believe in what I do.
Nice.
It's amazing what the human psyche can do when, for lack of a better term, burning the ships, right? So when there's no turning back and you only have one direction, you'll figure it out.
Yep.
And you'll grow real fast to get there.
Yep. Yeah. No, it's by far the best thing that's happened, like for my own personal development.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So, question.
I love your questions. They're great.
They're so random.
That's why they're fun.
I feel so bad when I talk to you. I'm like, my brain is way over here. How did you find a therapist?
Oh, I got so lucky. So this was the therapist that was at the children's hospital that I worked in. And she was like literally in our building. So we had a huge hospital system and there were tons of therapists, but she was the one that was on site. Mm-hmm. And so it was just like path of least resistance. And I went and saw her. And because it was a pediatric facility, there was a lot of people who had either past trauma with their childhood that led them into working in pediatrics, or just working in a children's hospital can be super depressing. Yep. And so like trauma that happened there. So she was a trauma-informed therapist. And it was like, I didn't even realize that that's what I needed until I got there. And she was like, oh, you have trauma. Let's work through this. And so it just, yeah, it was just perfect.
Nice.
Awesome.
You talked about everyone, not everyone, a lot of people we've had on have been like, oh, you know, I went to see a therapist. And I'm like, I'm curious as to how people find their therapist, because I know it's so hard nowadays to one, accept that you probably need to talk to somebody besides yourself. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
And that's why I like to be very open about, like, I have seen a therapist in the past. I'm seeing a therapist now. Becoming a second-time mom had its own separate challenges, and also be willing to, like, if you're with a therapist and it's not clicking, it's not feeling like the perfect fit, just be okay with, like, saying, hey, this isn't working, and, like, finding somebody else, because, like, you need that for you, and if you're working with somebody that's not a good fit, you're not going to make the progress that you need.
Right.
Similar to work. If it's not working out, you should go find a new job.
Yeah, you got to be happy with your life.
Exactly. You spend a third of your life there. That's why I like it. All right. And I know you mentioned kind of where to find you on the socials and everything. Is there anywhere else that people can go if they are seeking your services?
Yeah. So our website is fns.health. So that's for Family Nutrition Solutions. Mm-hmm. And you can check out our website. Myself and Sarah, we have our bios on there. And then you can request an appointment on there. It's super simple on like the initial request, because we're basically trying to figure out what's the like most basic information that we need from you to help identify which dietitian you need to see, and then we follow up from there.
Awesome.
Love it.
And as we've found out, you do accept insurance, and it sounds like it's a lot more, the insurance is a lot more willing to help people out, so I guess it doesn't really hurt to reach out, right? And just to kind of put the feelers out there.
Yep, absolutely. And then we have an office in Leland where right now Sarah is seeing people in person. Okay. And because I have a baby that won't take a bottle, I am solely doing telehealth and working from home.
Good to have the flexibility, though.
Yes.
Love it. So yeah, thank you for coming on. I know my brain is all over the place, but I felt like I learned a lot.
Awesome.
Yeah. Very helpful. So yeah, you guys, thank you for listening to this episode. As per usual, like, comment, share, subscribe. Check us out because we are on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And hopefully we'll catch you in the next one.
Cheers.
All right. Thank you.